demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Angel, did you see the Anthony Edwards, abortion controversy going on here? What he's had to say about that? Minnesota Timberwolves guard Anthony Edwards is now publicly walking back comments he made to a woman that appeared to urge her to get an abortion. He issued a statement Monday on his social media account addressing an alleged text message thread shared between him and a woman. Here's what he allegedly typed or text or whatever. He was tagged in a post, including a conversation via leaked text messages, which allegedly showed a photo of a positive pregnancy test and responses, quote, hell nah, can't do this, and get a abortion, LOL. Now, here's what he said on his Instagram account. He said, I made comments in the heat of a moment that are not me and that are not aligned with what I believe and who I want to be as a man. All women should be supported and empowered to make their own decisions about their bodies and what is best for them. I am handling my personal matters privately and will not be commenting on them any further at this time. So basically, it was a private text, right, that got out, that leaked out somewhere. I'm guessing this woman leaked it out, didn't she?
Yeah. I assume so.
Weird story there. A streak ended. Steph Curry's NBA record three-pointer streak ended at 268 games as the Warriors held off Portland 118 to 114 last night. Curry was 0-for-3 from three-point range, 2-for-12 overall while scoring 7 points for the Warriors. Weird night for him. Yeah.
Less than three or less than four attempts?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Weird night, man.
Are they reeling from the Draymond stuff?
They're falling apart. Klay Thompson's not the guy he used to be. Draymond Green, obviously, is anger management going, doing that somewhere for a while. I can't imagine he'll be back anytime soon. The Warriors, it's weird seeing teams like this fall, isn't it? You know, teams that we've followed so closely and teams that we've seen be so dominant for the past decade or so, to see them become human.
Yeah, I mean, Steph has always been Steph. Obviously, the Splash Brothers became a big thing in like 2014 through 16, 17. And, they had that good core that they put together with Draymond and, they had Livingston there for a little bit coming off the bench. Jordan Poole obviously had one good year with them before he got knocked out, literally. Weird. Is Steve Kerr a good coach?
That's the thing. Steve Kerr's an interesting study, isn't he? I mean, Mark Jackson was the head coach for the Warriors, really kind of got them to the point where they were going to the playoffs on a regular basis, but was let go after 2 or 3 years of them rising up, and then it was Steve Kerr hired, and they pretty much started winning championships right around that time. Mm-hmm. I think the Nuggets faced the Warriors. That was Mark Jackson as the head coach when George Karl's final year for Denver. They faced the Warriors, got knocked out of the playoffs, and that was with Andre Iguodala and all that stuff with the Nuggets. And then I believe they fired Mark Jackson that offseason?
I think so.
And then it was Steve Kerr hired. And I don't know if they won the very next year, but they won.
They went to like 4 or 5 in a row.
Yeah. I'm always careful with this conversation because a lot of people can easily throw out, well, yeah, Steve Kerr, you had Curry, the Splash Brothers in their prime. Draymond Green was still obviously in his prime playing pretty well. Iguodala comes over and he's still playing pretty well with your team. But managing all those guys, as we're seeing now, can be difficult. A lot of people throw that out about Phil Jackson. Like, well, dude, you had Michael Jordan and then you had Kobe Bryant and Shaq. Like, you had all these amazing teams. Keeping them together, as we learned in the last Dance in the Jordan documentary, that was a difficult task.
I mean, Steph kind of grew into that stardom, and I think he's handled it pretty well. Klay was always kind of like the quieter of the two, and he was just going to go out there and shoot threes. Draymond was obviously the physical guy, and then Andre, you know, added a lot to that team as well. But yeah, maybe, you know, they say dynasties don't last forever.
No, and I think, wasn't it Draymond Green that said there's never going to be another dynasty again? The Warriors were the last dynasty in the NBA, which is a silly thing to say.
Right.
We have countless years of basketball left. We're going to see dynasties, you know?
I mean, there could be a midseason tournament dynasty. You never know.
Lakers raising that banner up, huh? Would you be good with the Nuggets raising the banner?
Absolutely not.
I'd make fun of it.
I was
just
against
like,
it when they announced it. Like, I don't want the Nuggets anywhere near this.
It's just not a championship, folks. Stop pretending it.
If they won that trophy and put it up in a display case next to the Larry O'Brien, it would have been awful.
Put it in a trophy case, but put it somewhere.
Put it like on the entrance for the fans.
Yeah, at the bottom or something. The bottom of the trophy case, so nobody can really see it. You can't put that in the same
bottom
case.
Bottom shelf laying on its side.
Where is the NBA trophy? Is it like the Nuggets trophy? The Larry O'Brien trophy?
It's like in the hallway into their locker room. It's like in a little display in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have taken it out as extra motivation. Like, oh, we didn't win anything, so.
It was cool seeing it up close, huh?
It's very cool.
We didn't get to touch it, though.
No.
Did they tell us not to? I forgot.
I think they said, hey, yeah, don't touch it.
Got to take close-up pictures.
2 inches away from it and kind of breathe on it.
You could breathe in the
essence.
Feel
the warmth of the glow of shininess.
Well, they just shined it and everything. It was cool. Love that. Are the Nuggets going to win another one? They're going to win it this year.
I think they can. I think people are starting to, I don't know about the Nuggets. They're good. We're fine.
No KCP again in the Thunder loss. Was that Saturday night? That was a bad weekend. It was a rough weekend. But I felt like the Nuggets had that thing. Thunder, obviously one of the best teams in the league right now. And Denver had their number. It's just rough turnovers, late game stuff, and you suffered, your second loss now at Ball Arena?
It's been a weird couple of weeks for them.
Just weird.
Injuries and ejections and trying to find that mentality. Obviously, I feel like they had it to start the season, and you feel that coming off of a championship and a parade, and you feel good about it. Now you're getting into that grind of the midseason. And now you kind of have to re-motivate yourself almost.
Yeah, so we're 27 games in. So we're well into this thing now. And Denver's 17-10 and 10-2 at home. Like, it's really good. Like, look around. And tonight's an interesting game. Playing host to the Mavs tonight. Mm-hmm. So, this is going to be a crazy game. Denver fares pretty well against the Mavericks, though.
They do. Be interested to see if KCP can play. That's a little concerning. He hasn't been out there the last couple of games.
Yeah, you miss him defensively big time in that starting group.
I think getting Gordon and Murray kind of reintroduced to the starting lineup has helped that a little bit. Obviously, the bench is still going to be here and there. One guy's going to shine. Maybe two guys will shine. So just kind of refinding yourselves.
Looking at tonight's game, as you said, it is a big game. Dallas is third right now in the Western Conference. They're 16-9. And again, I'm not sure how close we want to do watches right now and stuff like that. But I guess it's a mental thing, just knowing you're in the top three. Dallas is third right now. Denver is fourth at 17-10. So all the freak out right now, it's like, hey, dude, you're still one of the best records in the league.
And you think they're going to be the one seed all season?
Yeah. Well, they got the target on their back, man. I mean, teams bring it a little bit. There's a little more extra juice when you're going up against the Nuggets.
They did beat the Mavs in their first matchup.
That was a play-in game, wasn't it?
That was the first mid-season tournament.
Denver kind of smoked them, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
No play-in motivation tonight. Does that change?
They do have several game-time decisions for the Mavs. Luka, Kyrie, Kieber, Holmes, and Lively. Or no. Three of those guys are out. Irving's out. Luka is a game-time decision.
Wow. That would be a nice opportunity for Denver to get back into the win column in
Denver.
See
that little headband he's wearing, Luka?
Yeah, what's going on with
Apparently
that?
Apparently it's a shoestring from one of his kids.
Hmm.
I thought it was just like a really worn-down headband.
Well, that's
unique.
He's
just still holding on to it like, it's my lucky headband.
What if he loses it? Does he got to get a new shoestring?
Got to get a new kid?
Yeah, maybe. Let me ask, I'm going to go through this Western Conference right now. You tell me if these are the real deal. Minnesota Timberwolves, number one in the Western Conference, 19-5. I mean, they are taking that loss to Denver in the playoffs last year, and they've since then they've been very good.
Yeah, I expected them to have a better year this year. We'll see if they can handle that pressure as we get into the second half and down the stretch. Does this Edwards thing cause any weird
a little distraction?
Feelings?
I'm sure. OKC 16-8, obviously just beat Denver on Saturday.
I think they're good. I still think they're a little young and inexperienced.
Do you think that, like, those teams, you got Minnesota and OKC at the top, that's uncharted territory. We haven't seen that in a while. Not since OKC had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and James Harden. You got the Kings in fifth. So your Lakers are down. Phoenix is in a weird spot. They're 14-12.
Whoa.
And Beal, like, returns, goes down in the first period of whatever game I was watching Saturday. So, and then he was out
never
for the game.
To see that. Vaunted big three in Phoenix.
Do you think the Golden States, the Lakers, the Pelicans, even the Clippers get back up into the top six at least?
I think maybe the Pelicans have the best chance out of that group there. The Clippers may stay right where they're at. The Kings are probably good with where they're at. Houston is a surprising team this year.
Sure. Yeah, really surprising.
So they've played the Nuggets 15 times already.
Yeah, a million. The Rockets and the Clippers. Got a lot of those games. So it's a big game. I want to see the Nuggets start to go on a run, Angel. I want to see them be up where the Bostons of the world are, you know, with five losses and Minnesota. I want them to really go on. And obviously, that's no-brainer, duh. You want them to win every game they play. I think it's important the rest of this month if the Nuggets can really come out sharp. Get everybody back together. Get KCP back together. Because you're right. The last 2 weeks, it's just been weird. Joker wasn't quite himself. Gets ejected. Jamal Murray coming back. And then he's hurt again. And then he comes back. And Aaron Gordon's trying to get healthy again and get his bounce back. And now KCP's out. So it's just been a strange month. It's been a strange December for them. A long December, as the Counting Crows would lead us to believe. The Counting
yeah,
Crows.
I mean, we could go back to December like Taylor Swift or.
Did you see her at the sidelines in the game?
No, I didn't see it, Brady. It wasn't plastic.
They never
all
did
over
it every time.
Media and...
There's one, she's like sticking her tongue out and then she's like yelling at the ref, like, come on. Ugh.
Come on, football guy, throw it at Travis.
Did you hear the stupid TMZ report or whatever it was? Apparently, he's not going to go to her birthday party because it's mandatory that he goes to football practice.
It's almost like he has a job.
It's like it's his job.
He doesn't just get on a stage and lip sync 50 billion songs that got re-released every 5 years or so.
That looked like an AI story. Did you read the story? It was just matter of fact. He cannot attend her birthday party because the Kansas City Chiefs practice during the week and practices are mandatory. Mandatory. What are we doing here? This is South Park.
Taylor, this is how normal people go to work. I know Travis isn't a normal person, but we have jobs and responsibilities. You got to clock in, clock out.
It's so annoying,
man. Don't just show up to thousands of screaming people. With my two private jets for some reason.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. She's like destroying the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Flying all over.
All by herself.
Taylor Swift, everybody. Like, yeah, she's traveling to all these games, and then she's got to go to her concerts and stuff, right? Because she's touring, isn't she?
I think she's on a break right now.
Oh, okay.
Don't ask me.
Okay.
Actually, she's in Sacramento this evening.
19 minutes after the hour. Steve Ivey coming up next. The Rams did what they needed to do over the weekend. Two more non-conference games for them on the men's side of things. We'll talk to Steve coming up in just a bit. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on his induction into the Colorado High School Coaches Association Hall of Fame. Hear the Hall of Famer on KFKA weekdays 10 to 11.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. And you're listening to the Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
Talking some Colorado State men's basketball now with our guy Steve Ivey. Has his blog and his podcast available at crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com. Steve, my man. Well, the Rams took care of what they needed to over the weekend. couple more non-conference games left for them, and then we get into what looks to be a very challenging Mountain West Conference, division and schedule. It's going to be tough. So these next two games are pretty important for Colorado State.
Absolutely. Rams are 10-1 right now, nationally ranked 16th and 17th in the coaches and AP polls. But it's important that they get the last two. A tricky road test at Loyola Marymount on Friday, and then the following Friday after Christmas, a home game with Division II Adams State from the RMAC, and those are always good games. RMAC teams are a very, very solid conference, and then, as you said, launching into a Mountain West schedule that's going to be really, really strong. Rams open with three really, really good teams at home to New Mexico, who's getting votes in the AP poll. Utah State, who currently stands at 11-1 on the road, and then another road game at Boise State, who's won 20 straight home games. So there's no there will be no rest as they get into the Mountain West schedule, Brady.
Yeah, the worst record in the Mountain West is UNLV with a 4-5 record. I mean, that's just insane. This is a very good conference, a very deep conference. Before we get into like looking at those teams that you're really, you know, terrified of, Steve, talk to us about the game against CSU Pueblo. Well, we know who the real CSU is now, right? That was the battle to determine that, correct?
Yeah, that was, you know, CSU Pueblo, a solid team. Good, again, just a solid RMAC team, and they have been scoring a lot of points. They actually had an exhibition game at the beginning of the year at New Mexico, and they were within 10 points in New Mexico with 10 minutes to go. So it's not that they're not a terrible team. They had some talent out there. CSU took care of business. They had a little bit of rust, I think, coming off of the finals week, but once they got it going, they really got it going, shot better than 50% from three in the first half. But essentially, it was CSU at their best passing the ball the entire game. The whole team together mentality, 24 assists on 29 made field goals, so greater than 80% assist rate, which is extremely high at the college basketball level. So a very, very solid mechanical, but a very strong win to get back into play after finals.
Steve, talk to us about a little bit of a lineup change there. Obviously, we know we have some injuries waiting on guys like Josiah Strong and Jalen Lake to get back into the mix, but we see Tavi Jackson get the start, and we get Palmer back off of the bench. 0 points off the bench for him, kind of uncharacteristic. But what was the thinking or the thought process there? Did the Rams kind of just think, hey, he's better off the bench, or is Jackson really just starting to move up in their eyes?
I think it's just a kind of a combination of things, Brady. I think that Joe, if you look where Joe was put in a position, putting in at the two guard and replacing both Josiah and Jalen. And Joe is really more of I'd categorize him more as a three. So he's probably a little bit out of position. I think sometimes defensively it was a little tricky for him. He still offers, the ability to rebound, the ability to shoot from the perimeter. Tavi Jackson is a very, very talented guard. Started a bunch of games in Isaiah Stevenson's absence last year when Isaiah was out with his broken foot, and proved to be very, very capable as a freshman. Tavi had a kind of a long summer with injury and illness, and is just getting back into health, but a very, very talented player, and he fit in very naturally yesterday. 22 minutes, 13 points, 2-for-2 from three-point range, 7-for-8 from the free throw line, and then defensively what he offers with his on-ball defense. He had 5 steals yesterday that led to a lot of Ram points off turnovers. So a big change there. And Joe, while he missed shots yesterday, gave his usual energy off the bench and gave the team a lift when he came off the bench. So it worked out really, really well with both players.
Can you give us an update on the injuries? Because we're kind of trying to do the math and figure out perhaps when Strong and when Lake might be back. I'm guessing they'll still both miss the start of Mountain West play. But any progress there? Are we going to be pleasantly surprised? Should they be back a little bit sooner?
I didn't get a chance to talk to Jalen Lake yesterday. I think he's going to be back he'll be back in a limited way for New Mexico.
Wow.
I talked to Josiah Strong a little bit yesterday, and he has a doctor's appointment this week. The original prognosis for him was 4 to 6 weeks. 6 weeks would put it in the middle of January. 4 weeks would put it just in time for New Mexico. And he's really, really encouraged with how things are going for him. He's hoping to be back for New Mexico. I'd say it's probably 50-50 that he'll be available as well for New Mexico. I'd give Jalen Lake maybe 80% and Josiah 50% for the opening of the conference games.
Wow. Well, that's better than, you know, 0%, Steve. That's what I learned in math class anyway. When you look at this conference...
I forget, you're obviously good at math because Mr. Thursday Night is really coming to the forefront. So
it's been
your math skills right now.
It's been hot, right? I'll admit, Steve, it's been hot. I got two more games left. I was bad. I was like 1-6 to start the year, and now I'm back to 500. Two games left here to just get over 500. It wasn't the year I wanted, but right now we're going to limp into the playoffs. That's the goal right now.
There you go, Brady. Keep it up.
We'll see what happens this Thursday. Steve, looking at the rest of this Mount West Conference, as you said, they're going to start conference play against New Mexico. Utah State is ridiculous. Nevada's ridiculous. San Diego State's there. Who scares you the most? Who's the best team in the conference right now? Is it CSU?
Right now, you put CSU there. All the metrics would say they're number one. Just based on what they've done in out of conference, that gauntlet that they ran with the wins over Boston College, Creighton, CU, and Washington, they have some of the best wins in the conference. But I got to tell you, there's four teams in the net top 30. Nevada is sitting at about 45th. Boise State starting to gain some traction after a slow start, and they're starting to win and smash people. You've got six really, really good teams, and I'd categorize CSU at the top, but there's no margin for error with any of those top six teams right now, Brady. It's going to be a heck of a run in and a conference race this year in the Mountain West.
You think there's four teams that are going to get in, four bids in the Mountain West?
I think right now it's stacking up to four. My original thought at the beginning of the season was I thought the over-under would be 2.5 bids. I thought we were just as likely to see two as we were three, and I didn't see four coming to fruition. But with what CSU has accomplished, they're a little better than what I thought. I thought they'd be an outside tournament team, and they're certainly playing like a highly seeded tournament team. I knew San Diego State would be good. I thought Boise would be a little better. Utah State is a very big surprise, brand new program, basically new coach with a roster that has no returning points, no returning minutes. They've done a heck of a job putting together a very experienced squad, and they're playing very, very well together, and that's gonna really help make the Mountain West better during the conference schedule.
Yeah, B-Rad just shared a tweet with us on our text line, Steve, about the top 50 net rankings by conference, and Mount West with five right there. So, I mean, yeah, this is a lethal group.
Yeah, I mean, right now it looks like four bids. I would say Nevada, good enough to get in, and they obviously will get a chance to play all the teams ahead of them currently in the net in the Mountain West. They're probably a bubble resume right now, but they've got a couple of good games coming up in Hawaii in the tournament. They're going to get a chance to move up. Could you see five bids? I think there's an outside chance, but I think right now it's looking good for four.
Steve, last one for you. Isaiah Stevens, we know he has every assist record that's ever existed, but he's about to break the all-time points record for Colorado State. What is he, like 10, 12 points away?
14 points, Brady.
14.
He was 31 away from being tied with Pat Durham yesterday. He had 18 points, so he'll need 14 more to pass Pat. We were all hoping. A lot of us were aware of it watching the game yesterday. I sit with some pretty savvy fans, and we were hoping Zay would go off early and Nico would leave him in and he could break the record last night, but it wasn't to be. It looks like, given his consistency, needing 14 points, the odds of him breaking the record on the road against Loyola Marymount on Friday are very, very good. Isaiah is usually good for 16 to 18 points every game now. So he'll probably break it on the road, come home after Christmas to the game with Adams State, and hopefully we'll have a big celebration in Moby Arena for Isaiah. Obviously a tremendous accomplishment for the young man, not just, as you said, blowing away the assist record, but to be the all-time leading point scorer. And then the next milestone after that that has a good chance of coming in the New Mexico game will be crossing the 2,000-point barrier. He's at, 1957 right now, so two more games to get to 2,000. There's already two CSU players over 2,000 points in their college careers, Joel Scott and Pat Cartier. To have a third 2,000-point scorer would be just be incredible, and there's a good chance that could happen against New Mexico on January 2nd.
Wow. The guy's astonishing, no doubt about it. But maybe you go to him, Steve. Maybe Nico goes to him and says, hey, let's get 13 against LMU, and let's get that one against Adams State to start the game.
You know, I don't think – I think that would be fun to be able to plan that, but Nico will do everything he can to win a game, and if it takes – and Isaiah will do the same. And if it's 6 points and 15 assists, he'll take that. And if it's 22 points and 4 assists, he'll take that. He's going to do whatever it takes because, first and foremost, he's a winner. He plays to win games, and he does what it takes. And he's got the skills to be able to really dictate that throughout the 40 minutes.
Steve, what can we expect this week? I know you put together your podcast on Monday mornings, talking a little bit about the win over the weekend and obviously starting to set the table probably for what Mountain West play will look like in, you know, a couple weeks.
Yeah, next week. So I did, like you said, my podcast this morning. I did a couple other things on there, Brady, that I think are kind of fun. One of which was looking at the amount of experience on the teams in the Mountain West and how that experience translates to NCAA bids just overall. And CSU is one of, there's seven teams in the Mountain West that are very, very highly experienced, and that's why we're seeing success. The other thing I did was I looked at, there's five transfers in the Mountain West this year at five different teams, all the top teams, all of whom are doing incredibly well. They are all from the class of 2020. Nick Clifford of CSU is one of them, but they're really blossoming in the Mountain West. These were kids that were anywhere just north or south of being the top 100th player in high school ball in 2020. And it's amazing what happens, how they've gone from basically very, very nondescript careers at other schools, and they've come into the Mountain West, and they're all tearing it up. All five of these guys are strong candidates for all conference honors. And it was really fun. I talked a little bit to Neek about it. He's played against, he knows a lot of those players. And it's kind of a fun thing. It'll be a fun thing to watch over the course of the season. So, but as you said, next week I'll start getting into previews for the Mountain West. I'm also going to try and do a little bit more on the women's team. The CSU women's team, who currently stands at, I believe, 9-1, and really talk more about the great McKenna Hawkshield, who is really tearing it up, who is going off all kinds of double-doubles, averaging over 20 points and close to 10 assists a game. She's been incredible. I'm going to try and spend a little time talking about them as well.
Steve, so. I love it, man. Nobody gets deeper into Colorado State basketball than you do, so I appreciate all the work you're doing. I'm out next week, so Steve, my man, I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Thank you for everything. We love being involved with you. The opportunities I get to go watch basketball with you, I truly cherish those times. So thank you so much for being you, my man.
Brady, I'm on the same side as you. I cherish the time we get to spend together. You know how much respect I have, and how I do actually believe that you do have the best radio talk, sports radio talk show in the entire state. I think you're doing a fantastic job. Keep it up. And again, happy holidays to you and your family. Happy New Year. And we can plan on, we'll plan to get together right after the New Year. How's that?
That sounds good to me, my man. Appreciate you. And we'll catch up with you soon.
You bet. Thanks, Brady. Have a great week.
You too. Steve Ivey, talking CSU hoops. Love it. What do you think about tonight's game? Eastside Chris is wanting some knowledge on it, Angel. Philly, Seattle, quarterbacks both out. backup battle?
I think Hurts is questionable. He had an illness over the weekend, so we'll see how he's feeling. Geno Smith still dealing with his injury, so your boy,
let's go,
Drew Locke,
yeah,
maybe coming back.
Let's go, big one tonight.
The Seahawks to a late season push.
They're 6-7.
There you go.
Could Drew Locke be the savior?
Lock it down
for Seattle. I mean,
he throws lasers.
Now they lost last week with him, right? But that was to San Francisco, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're good. I think they're a good football team.
Was Locke the quarterback in the Cowboys game?
No.
That was Geno. Well, that was a bad Thursday night special, I think. Because I think I picked... No, I think I got that one. I picked Seattle to cover that, didn't I? Okay. So Drew Locke, all right. You got it. He was on the road against San Francisco. That's unfair.
The most electrifying all of entertainment.
He's up there. Did you see Lamar's game?
I didn't. I figured
that. Well, I didn't either, actually. We couldn't. Wasn't on. You couldn't. If you had, what was it, Channel 9? No, it's Channel 9.
Should be on NBC, no?
Whatever channel it was, I didn't get.
Oh, you didn't miss much.
The greatest quarterback that's ever existed. Nah. Doing everything out there.
He's a good running back for sure.
I mean, what doesn't this guy do? I think he's so good, he could throw a 50-yard pass in the air, run under it, catch it, and score a touchdown.
But could he throw it over a mountain like Uncle Rico?
Yes, I think he could. Is it legal to throw the ball to yourself without it being tipped?
I've never seen it. I think Mahomes probably did it once.
I think that's going to happen.
Left-handed behind the back, through the legs, something weird.
They're just going to call a play, and it's going to be, hey, Lamar, just throw it up in the air, roll out, run under it, and get it.
You could do like a lateral pitch to OBJ, and then OBJ throws it downfield to Lamar.
I'd love to see that. It could probably happen. I'm pretty sure Lamar could play defense, too. Yeah, put him at safety.
I don't know if he's going to tackle anybody.
He'd probably beat Justin Tucker in a kicking duel.
He could coach better than Harbaugh.
Yeah, he could coach himself to win. Yeah, what a great player. Drew Locke tonight against who's backup? Who did you say the backup is for the Eagles? Billy Bob Thornton?
Oh, I have no idea. Let's see.
Bob Costas?
Oh, Marcus Mariota.
Oh, yeah.
That could be an interesting game.
I forgot that he went to the Eagles. How about that?
It's in Seattle. 12th man showing up.
Marcus Mariota and the Drew Locke. Texter Brady, I'm putting bank on you tonight. Hurts out. Geno out. Could be ugly. Rain 60%. 46 degrees. No wind. What says Tanner? Who cares what Tanner says? He's got to go milk a cow or something. He's not even going to watch tonight's game. He's milking cows. It's Monday.
He's either milking cows or getting lost in the grocery store.
The poor guy, I heard that. Mm-hmm. And I saw the tweet.
We got blasted on Twitter for it.
What'd they say?
Well, Jenna tweeted it out.
Oh, yeah.
And
people were giving him a hard time?
He quote tweeted it, so he brought it on himself.
He couldn't find the cheese or something?
He couldn't find the meat and cheeses for the charcuterie board.
I have a story about Tanner. He and I went to Costco once.
Oh.
Yeah, together. You know,
that's a big grocery store.
Just dudes hanging out. I'm walking. He goes over to the sample place, and I turn around, and he's gone. I lost him because he was just going to all the sample tables and eating all the stuff. You can make a meal of it if you go to a Costco.
You don't have to buy anything.
You could seriously make a meal of it.
What else is your membership paying for?
Right. You're just eating. I can't help it. I try everything at those things. Everything.
Oh, the weird salami that's been double cured in grass-fed pastures, and you pair that with some random grape juice that you've had.
I got orange juice last time. I went to Sam's Club, I should say.
Oh.
And then there was like this spicy ramen stuff.
Mm.
So good. Got that. Salami, obviously.
And some weird
cheese.
Fruit frozen thing.
Yeah. And I'll try it all.
A little berry smoothie.
I will go literally to every one of those things and just try them. There's some chicken there that was really good. Tastes just like the Chick-fil-A stuff.
Costco's or Sam's Club?
Both. But mainly Costco because it's close to us.
I think growing up we went to Sam's Club and then we got a Costco in town. So it was all right. We're going to Costco.
Costco changes things, man. Costco changes things. It's a game changer. 43 minutes after the hour, let's jump out, take a quick break here. Are we at the bottom? We're at the bottom. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Broncos lost to the Lions. Playoff hopes are certainly a little more doubtful than they were Saturday morning when we woke up with Christmas cheer, ready for Broncos and Lions Saturday night, and then we go to bed with Christmas sadness. Christmas sadness. It's not quite Christmas, but it's the theme. It's a holiday theme. It's a whole month, man.
Sure.
And
the season.
Tis the season. Why does it not feel Christmassy? Is it because it's 9 million degrees outside?
Yeah, it's too nice outside.
Way too freaking nice. I need to be in coat, in a coat, heavy coat, and gloves, and a beanie outside.
Well, I saw you guys went and saw some Christmas lights over the weekend.
We did at Sentara. They're really cool there.
Very nice.
I will suggest go on the weekends. That's when they have all the stuff there. We went during the weekday, and it was just the lights, which are neat. But on the weekends, they got like Rudolph and the reindeer. They're out there.
An actual reindeer?
Like an actual reindeer.
The red nose and everything?
Red nose. I'm pretty sure it was. Well, I think they might put it over, or it's just a regular reindeer. I'm not sure. Santa's out there.
Whoa.
So you can go.
What's he doing in this part of town?
He's gathering intel.
Checking the list.
So he can see what the kids want. Mm. So he's talking to the kids, and it's fun. But my child, we bundled up. Like, we thought it was going to be really cold. For some reason, it was like 30 degrees, but it didn't. We were all sweating. Chill. Yeah, it was a weird time. But my child, we saw the lights for a little bit, and he's like, I would like to go to Macy's. And so we went to Macy's, and they put like a mini toy store in Macy's now. Gavin sniffs out toy stores like a bloodhound. He knows.
You just kind of, it's like a spidey sense.
He sees a mall-like building, and he sees lights in there, and he just assumes there's got to be toys in there. There just has to be.
Something's off.
Yeah, so we need to get in there. So I'm carrying him over, and his hands were cold. His gloves weren't doing the trick. So he puts his hands in front of my mouth, and I'm breathing, and he likes the warmth from my mouth.
But you don't need to breathe.
Ends up covering my entire face. So I'm like, Brittany, be my eyes. We're crossing a parking lot here. So let me know. I can't see. So if we run into a tree with a low branch, could lose the child. He could fall. So made it into Macy's. It's good. It was a fun time. 12:50 the time. Want to shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. It's nice now, but I think the weather's going to change a little bit this weekend. It's going to get cold. Make sure your heater's good to go. Lemons Heating and Cooling. Check them out online, lemonsheatingandcooling.com. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on his induction into the Colorado High School Coaches Association Hall of Fame. Hear the Hall of Famer on KFKA weekdays 10 to 11.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, a former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I just got on social media from Bleacher Report, a guy named Byron Washington. Did you see this dude? 6'7", 380-pound junior in high school. 6'7", 380-pounder. He is manhandling. Look at this picture, Angel. He's like manhandling that dude.
I just saw that.
Yeah. That guy that he's manhandling is 6'4", 215 pounds. He looks like a doll.
It's like a child. That's like an NFL man against like a middle school JV player.
That's a giant. Is that Hagrid? From Harry Potter?
Might be Hodor.
Good Lord, that's a big dude. Wow. First of it is text line 888-530-0043.
Being that big in high school, like trying to walk down the hallways, just
like where do you
lumbering around?
You got to get a different desk. Chair. Yeah, you can't sit in normal desks that we were sitting in.
Who's he got an offer from? Anybody?
He's just a monster. Just get that guy going somewhere. Just go to CU. They got all their linemen. They need more.
From DeSoto High School.
He's a junior. He's still got another
year.
Texas,
so yeah, Texas football. Big guy.
In the 1 o'clock hour, Chip Kelly, UCLA's head coach, had some interesting things to say about what he would do with college football. I mean, everybody's talking about there's some good plans being laid out there. Something's going to change, folks. You know, Friday we had a great conversation with Kevin Lytle at the Coloradoan. Great conversation on some pretty scary times. With Jay Norvell, I don't know, Angel, did you look at that? Jay Norvell called, he reached out to Kevin. It's not like Kevin called him and said, hey, I want some breaking news. Jay Norvell reached out to Kevin to give him information and basically say, hey, we're fighting for our lives here. Is that him pressing the panic button, trying to alert the community to, hey, throw some money in that NIL? It's a genius plan.
Maybe that, maybe, you know, putting up a beacon for college football and saying, hey, this is a group of five school. This is how it's affecting us. I know Power Five, it's all good. The rich get richer. But, you know, this is affecting more than just the Power Five and the big-time schools.
Kevin made a great point on Friday, Angel, when he said, you're not hearing about anybody getting in trouble. Like, nobody is getting, we're not getting any breaking news. So-and-so dinged for allegedly working with a third party to tell Billy Bob to enter the portal.
I think a lot of it needs is like self-reported.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if we tell you we broke the rules, then you'll be more lenient on our punishment.
But they just, they can't regulate it the way that it's happening right now. So, you know, coaches are staying out as much as they possibly can. They just can't regulate it. You know, the coaches are trying to keep their names out of it. You know, people might ask them about players they're looking forward to getting or players that they need, and you just follow the programs enough to know. But it's wild. So I want to talk about that more on the Broncos-Lions game. What would happen if the Broncos do release Russell Wilson? He's under contract, but the Broncos can make this thing a little bit easier to manage if they release him when the new league year starts in June and you got like a window there to make that decision. So we'll go into that on the other side. Do you want to see that? Are you done with Russell Wilson? Last week, I think I asked the poll question, are you giving up on Jerry Jeudy? Are you giving up on Russell Wilson? Have we already seen the best he can do? And maybe this is just going to be who the Broncos are until they get a game changer at quarterback. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.